This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Hope you had a great long 4th of July weekend. Hope you still have all of your fingers still intact and you didn't blow them off during the celebrations. If you want to be part of the show today, we'd love to hear from you. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. And we do have a bunch we want to talk about this morning. Powerful July 4th storms pounded the area where most of the damage is seen, and who's waking up without power this morning, we'll tell you about it. A 12-year-old girl drowns in a family swimming pool. What investigators are saying about the tragedy. Scientists are studying wildfires in Oklahoma, what they're learning and how that information could save lives. A Garvin County teenager will spend the rest of his life behind bars for killing two people over iPods and a pack of cigarettes. The disturbing details coming up. Two people stabbed in Oklahoma City. We'll have the latest on that one. Oklahoma streetcars may soon become free to the public, but somebody's got to pay for it. What do you think? As a taxpayer, do you want to foot the bill for this program? We'll take your calls and comments coming up at 405-608-4377. And another successful Liberty Fest parade is in the books. We'll wrap it up with one of the organizers coming up in just a little bit. But first, your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. A powerful July 4th storm brought record-breaking rainfall and damaging winds to the city of Oklahoma City over that weekend. The city picked up 1.76 inches of rain, breaking the previous July 4th record set back in 2005. The National Weather Service says wind gusts reached up to 80 to 90 miles per hour in some areas, knocking down trees and power lines, but officials believe the damage was caused by straight-line winds and not tornadoes. More than 18,000 OG&E customers were without power as of Sunday afternoon. Norman was among the communities hardest hit by Saturday night storms, with wind gusts reaching up to 90 miles per hour. The powerful winds brought down trees, power lines, and street signs across the city. At Max Westheimer Airport, hangar doors were torn from their tracks as crews checked aircraft for damage. A horse ranch in northwest Norman also saw significant damage, with twisted metal fencing, destroyed horse shelters, and what appeared to be a roof damage to a large barn. Crews are working to clean up the damage and restore power. As that cleanup continues, Governor Kevin Stitt has declared a disaster emergency for Cleveland and Washington counties following the 4th of July storms. The declaration allows state resources to be used as damage assessments continue, and additional counties could be added in the coming days. With thousands of customers still without electricity during the ongoing heat, cooling centers remain open across the state. Residents can find the nearest location by calling 211 or by checking OG&E's online cooling center map. More than $12 million in federal disaster recovery funding is coming to Oklahoma after FEMA approved grants to help communities rebuild from severe weather. The largest awards, more than $12 million combined, will reimburse Tri-County Electric Cooperative for repairs to power lines, poles, and transformers damaged by storms and winter weather. Additional funding will help to repair storm-damaged roads in Sequoia County and public buildings in Yale. FEMA also approved more than $1 million to help reimburse Oklahoma for costs associated with responding to five major wildfires earlier this year. The devastating wildfires that tore through Oklahoma back in March of 2025 are now helping researchers better understand how fire shapes the state's landscape. Oklahoma State University scientists had planned to study prescribed burns at the Cross Timbers Experimental Range when a wildfire swept through the site instead. While some equipment was destroyed, years of pre-fire data survived, giving researchers a rare opportunity to study the effects of intense natural wildfires. They now examined more than 2,800 tagged trees and found that while many native plants recover, invasive eastern red cedars do not grow back after burning. It's 72 degrees under sunny skies at 710. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. A 12-year-old girl has died after drowning in a swimming pool near Broken Bow. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol says the girl told an adult that she was going swimming Saturday afternoon at a private home in McCurtain County. About 10 to 15 minutes later, the adult went to check on her and found her at the bottom of the pool. She was pulled from the water and taken to a local hospital where she was pronounced dead. Troopers are continuing their investigation. A Garvin County teenager has been sentenced to life without parole for the murders of two workers during a botched robbery at a marijuana grow near Winniewood. 19-year-old Wyatt Collins pleaded guilty to two counts of first-degree murder and burglary in the April 2025 killings of 56-year-old Boming Ma and 42-year-old Alejandro Hernandez. Investigators say Collins and his younger cousin walked 3 miles to the grow intending to steal marijuana, but found no mature plants and instead entered a home on the property. Prosecutors say the pair left with only cigarettes and AirPods after the deadly shootings. Collins' cousin, Matthew Jones, is being prosecuted in federal court. Well, two people were injured in a domestic stabbing on Saturday afternoon in northwest Oklahoma City. Police say officers responded just after 1 o'clock in the afternoon to a home near North Rockwell Avenue in North Council, where the argument between a husband and wife turned violent. Investigators say the couple's son stepped in to intervene, and both the father and son suffered stab wounds during the altercation. One victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The other one was treated at the scene. One person is in police custody as the investigation continues. Restaurant owner Brent Swadley has been transferred from the Oklahoma County Jail to the Grady County Detention Center as he awaits sentencing on fraud convictions tied to his state park restaurant contracts. The move comes after Swadley expressed concerns about his safety in recorded jail calls, though his attorneys say they planned no role in the transfer. A jury found Swadley guilty of conspiracy and submitting fraudulent claims to the state, recommending a 10-year prison sentence and $75,000 in fines. He's scheduled to be sentenced on July 16th and plans to appeal the convictions. Incoming Cleveland County Sheriff Darrell Weaver says restoring public trust and building a culture of excellence will be his top priorities when he takes office. The former Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics Director and state senator says the department is entering a new chapter after months of controversy surrounding the previous administration. Weaver says he'll focus on first reviewing the budget, supporting employees during the leadership transition, and strengthening community confidence. Long term, he wants the sheriff's office to pursue national accreditation and become one of the premier law enforcement agencies in Oklahoma. Oklahoma City's free streetcar pilot program is providing a popular ridership with up to 37% compared with the same period last year. The temporary fare-free program had ended on July 5th, but city transportation officials will recommend making rides free permanent and meeting later on this week to talk about it. They say eliminating fares could help to save money by removing the need for ticket machines and maintenance. However, some city leaders argue buses should also be free, saying charging bus riders while offering free streetcar service could create equity concerns and even raise potential civil rights issues because bus riders are more likely to rely on transit for essential daily needs. After Oklahoma voters rejected State Question 832, supporters of raising the minimum wage are deciding what comes next. They say their options are another statewide petition or trying to pass legislation at the Capitol. However, organizers are waiting on an Oklahoma Supreme Court ruling over a law that limits petition drives before deciding whether to pursue another ballot measure. Republican lawmakers who oppose State Question 832 say that any future increase would likely require compromise, while supporters argue Oklahoma's $7.25 minimum wage has remained unchanged since 2009 and needs to be raised. A new Oklahoma law expanding the pathways to becoming a certified teacher in an effort to address the state's ongoing teacher shortage. House Bill 3076 allows approved public, private, and nonprofit organizations to offer alternative teacher preparation programs, with oversight shifting to the Oklahoma Commission for Education Quality and Accountability. Candidates must still meet education, testing, and employment requirements before entering the classroom. Supporters say the new law will reduce the state's reliance on emergency certified teachers, especially in rural and high-need school districts. Applications for Oklahoma's Promise have surged, with more than 10,200 students from the class of 2026 applying for the college scholarship program, a nearly 50% increase from the previous graduating class. State officials say lawmakers boosted funding for the program by more than $88 million for the upcoming fiscal year to help meet growing demand. Oklahoma's promise covers tuition at public colleges and universities for eligible students. State regents say the increase was expected after lawmakers expanded eligibility, including opening up a program to some children for longtime public school teachers. Nearly 2,400 students have applied through the new teacher track, including 850 members of the class of 2026. Beginning on November 1st, a new Oklahoma law will require health care providers and laboratories to report suspected cases of alpha-gal syndrome to the Oklahoma State Department of Health. The condition, triggered by bites from the Lone Star tick, has caused an allergy to red meat in some people, and doctors say they're diagnosing more cases every year. Health officials say the new reporting requirement will help to track how widespread the illness is and improve awareness, since symptoms often don't appear for several hours after eating and frequently are mistaken for food poisoning. A simple blood test can confirm the diagnosis. Researchers in Tulsa are studying a promising new treatment for people with depression that has not responded to medication or therapy. Scientists at Laureate Institute for Brain Research are testing how low-intensity focused ultrasound non-invasive technology that targets specific brain circuits linked to depression. Researchers say the goal is to better understand how the brain works and to eventually develop more effective treatments for people with treatment-resistant depression. While the therapy is still in the experimental stage, experts hope that it could one day offer a new option for patients who have exhausted traditional treatments. Edmond wrapped up yet another successful Liberty Fest over the holiday weekend, celebrating Independence Day with its annual parade and one of the metro's largest fireworks displays. The 10-day festival featured concerts, a rodeo, a car show, live music, and family activities before Saturday's 4th of July finale. Liberty Fest is now in its 54th year. It's one of Oklahoma's largest Independence Day celebrations and draws thousands of visitors to Edmond for the festivities. Lakeisha Ferguson is one of the organizers, and she was my co-MC for the parade. She joins us live coming up right after the break. Also coming up, your calls and comments at 405-608-4377. And, of course, we're going to lighten things up a little bit with your dad joke of the day. It's 72 degrees under sunny skies at 718. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Checking things out on this Monday morning, crash reported westbound I-40 at Rockwell, so watch out for that. Construction issues eastbound, I-44 at Klassen, May, and Northwest Expressway, and I-44 Southwest 74.
Hear the latest news and trending information that impacts your world on the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app, Oklahoma's talk radio.
I want to introduce you to a great connection, Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, nobody wants to spend hours cleaning floors, so how does ICS make it easier?
Yeah, our Pentek coatings are incredibly low maintenance. They resist oil, grease, and chemical stains, so spills wipe up easily. A quick sweep or mop keeps your floor looking showroom new, whether it's a garage, patio, or a basement.
That's a huge time saver. So how do these floors hold up over time?
They're built to last. We have a manufacturer lifetime warranty for all of our customers. Our Pentek coatings are 4 times stronger than epoxy, so they stay tough and beautiful for years.
Easy and durable. Love it. Sounds like a dream floor. How can listeners get started?
Just call us for a free estimate, and we'll handle the rest in just one day.
Get a hassle-free floor with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-4012 or go to icsconcretecoatings.com, 405-403-4012, or visit icsconcretecoatings.com to get your free estimate today.
Hey, have you noticed over time your ability to be intimate just gets less? I mean, suddenly you wake up and things don't work anymore. Let's face it, dealing with erectile dysfunction is not easy, but it's not hard. Hi, this is Greg with your Ultimate Men's Clinic. The effects of ED are no joke. They lead to problems, especially in new relationships and throughout existing relationships. You know you have a problem and it's always in your head. Look, ED never gets better left untreated. No matter what your situation or medical condition, for only $49, you'll receive a blood test, review our state-of-the-art treatment options. You'll see results that same day, or your office visit is free. Imagine never having to worry about the fear and embarrassment of not being able to perform again. You can leave with medication that same day. So what are you waiting for? Call 405-896-3000. That's 896-3000, or on the web at menofokc.com. That's menofokc.com. And remember, when it comes to being a man, go ultimate.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else
every weekday starting at 2 p.m. Look, if Clarence Thomas is mad, I think that you all are justified in getting angry, too. I'm tired of people trying to drive the car and tell you what to be angry about or not angry about. If Clarence Thomas is mad, I'll be damned. I think that's a good standard of measure to justify whether or not your anger is legitimate. Don't you agree? You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And a good Monday morning. It's July 6th, 2026. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Going to be a real hot couple of days coming up. Look for a mix of clouds and sun throughout the day today and a high of 93 degrees. Tonight, we'll see clear skies. It's going to be humid, too, low of 72 degrees. On Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high going up to 94. Then on Wednesday, brace yourself. Sunny, very hot, 103 degrees for a high temperature on Wednesday afternoon. It's 73 degrees right now under sunshiny skies at 722. Well, 1,000 celebrated Independence Day in Edmond over the weekend as Liberty Fest wrapped up its 54th year. The annual event featured a parade, concerts, rodeo, and one of the largest fireworks show in the metro, although unfortunately it was kind of pushed back a little bit because of the weather. They wound up doing it last night instead, but it continued on with the tradition. It has become one of Oklahoma's biggest 4th of July celebrations. I was honored to emcee it, the parade, along with organizer Lakeisha Ferguson. She joins us live this morning. Morning, Lakeisha.
Good morning. Good morning.
We had some fun.
Oh my goodness, we did, yes.
That was really, really cool. There were over, 100-plus entrants?
Yes, yeah. This was one of our biggest ones.
It was huge.
Yes.
It didn't seem to end.
So, I know, but it was good fun.
Yeah, but Freedom 96, we wound up setting up two different places.
Yes.
Because the parade was that large, we really had to have two MCs. Mm-hmm. So you and I were in the front part of it.
Yeah.
Lee Matthews was in the middle part of it. And I still don't think we covered it all because it was just so big.
Yeah, and they just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming.
When the Shriners came out.
Yes.
And the Shriners lasted for about six blocks.
Oh, yeah, they were forever. But it was so cool. All of their parts that they bring out is amazing.
And they know how to parade.
Yes,
they really do. They've got these little bikes they're doing wheelies on. They had the big wheels. They were doing skids and complete spins on those things, the little bitty cars. They really know how to put on a show.
It was impressive. Every year, they're great.
So take me back. Talk to me about some of the highlights from this 10-day-long event.
Oh, my gosh. Well, to think how fast this has already gone. All the planning that goes on all year long just to get to these, 2 weeks. Such a great time. We had record numbers at our Liberty Sprint. I mean, this thing just keeps growing every year. So it's
great. Despite the heat.
Yes, absolutely. And we do it first thing in the morning, so we get to beat the heat a little bit. But our Liberty Sprint was wonderful. Our rodeo was filled both nights, Friday and Saturday night when we had it. I mean, the stands were just filled with people. Of course, our car show, that was a little iffy. We had storms that came through very early in the morning. And, I hit that park 5:30 in the morning. It was still lightning, a little bit of rain. But as soon as the sun came out, it just was car show on with a bang, and it was a beautiful day.
And what's funny with those car show guys is they're just so anal about their vehicles.
Yes.
If there's a sprinkle of rain, they're not going to show up because they don't want those water spots on their cars.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm grateful. Hafer Park, it was a little iffy, but the city came out and supported us well, got it cleaned up. Everybody came in with their cars. Just a great, great turnout for the crowd.
Now, kind of disappointing. On Saturday, everybody was looking forward to those fireworks.
Yes.
And everybody was watching the weather. Mm-hmm. Everybody's watching David Payne.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying little prayers.
Yes.
And as the minutes are ticking by, as we're getting closer and closer to time to start lighting off those fireworks,
yeah.
Y'all made the decision. It just isn't safe.
No, not at all. And I mean, we're grateful for our partnerships with the city, with emergency managers, with law enforcement and such that keeps their eyes on everything. And it helps us make the final decision. And so obviously the community being safe is priority. And so as we saw the storms coming in and we saw what it did across our state on Saturday, we're glad we made the call to say let's postpone it. So we had it last night. Beautiful show. Perfect evening for it. It was very clear. You could be anywhere in Edmond and almost see it from UCO. So wonderful to have those back at UCO this year. And just to celebrate all of the events. They were wonderful.
Yeah, and this is the first time it's been back at UCO in, I guess, 10 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, about 10 years. So, yes. Yeah, glad to be on back on the campus. And families can come out still. And, again, you can pretty much be anywhere in any direction and see the show. Very good.
And that's the cool thing about it being at UCO. It's mm-hmm. It's right in the perfect spot in Edmond.
Yes.
And even just outside of Edmond, you can still see those fireworks.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So, we're grateful. I mean, we get to this day and we're like, all right, we can breathe and let's start again.
So you get one day to relax.
Yes.
And then tomorrow you start back
at it.
We start back at it, yes.
We'll get a little bit of time,
though. So what can we expect? I mean, talk to me a bit about all the planning that goes into this. Because when you're talking, you're planning a 10-day-long party, basically, mm-hmm. and it's multiple events in multiple venues throughout the entire city. It's all got to be family-friendly. It's all got to be vetted.
Yes.
You've got 100+ people who are coming in for the parade.
Yeah.
They all have to be vetted. Talk to me about the amount of work that goes into making this thing.
So I think the biggest reminder is that Liberty Fest is 100% volunteer ran. So we're grateful for the people who step up. We're grateful for the ones that fill in as chairs for each event that happens. Each event has a chair. And the planning just starts taking place. We get in the room. We start talking about what happened this year. We also ask for feedback from the community so that, you know, if there's something that maybe, you know, went along that you would like to see different or better or maybe even be involved, reach out to us, libertyfest.org. Contact@libertyfest.org is where you can get more information and find out about volunteering. But, you know, we come back and talk about our events in July. We do take a little bit off in August, and then we come back and start hitting it hard at the end of the year. Already for next year. And of course, it'll be the 55th year next year.
Yeah.
And so we're planning to do it even big like we did this year. So the planning begins now. What we get to bring to our community is so important. When we get to this side of it, we get to take a step back and say all of the hours, all of the time, all the conversations and the partnerships and collaborations were so important to see our community enjoy all of the events.
One of the things that I wanted to address is the whole event is supposed to be non-political, but
right.
every place you went, you saw signs for Matthew Myers for mayor. And I mean, just signs every place.
Yes.
Matthew Myers for mayor, mega, make Edmond great again. It's got his phone number. It's got a website.
Yeah.
Really, really promoting Matthew Myers for mayor. What makes it interesting? The guy's not running
for
mayor.
He's not running at all. He's got some great friends, I'll tell you.
So what we learned was this is part of a practical joke war going on between two guys.
Oh, yeah.
So Matthew, apparently he's got a buddy, and he took out, he paid a bunch of money for a bunch of billboards, put his friend's phone number on it,
and said,
lawn mowing, any size, $19.99 per. And so his buddy's phone has been blowing up nonstop because of that.
Yeah.
So his buddy's revenge is to hang up all of these Matthew Myers for mayor signs all over Edmond Liberty Fest.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people would see it.
So his phone is blowing up now. And I had to throw that in because just crazy mad respect for these two guys.
That was great. That was so great.
It was brilliant.
All the way even to a website.
Yep. And when you click on the website, it just says, give your mom the money, which is brilliant.
That's even great.
Lakeisha, thanks so much for joining us. We really enjoyed having you. Look forward to seeing you next year.
All right, Aaron. Thank you.
And thanks so much for sticking around, too, on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9. Still a lot more to talk about, including your headlines and your dad joke of the day. It's all coming up on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck, Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. Massive crowds turned out in Tehran for Saturday's official start of the funeral for Iran's late Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei. More than 850,000 fireworks fill the skies over Washington, D.C. during the 4th of July. President Trump says no nation has done more good for the world than the United States of America.
Speaking at Mount Rushmore in South Dakota Friday night, Trump celebrated the nation's 250th birthday.
And by the grace of God, the United States of America is the most successful, most accomplished, most exceptional nation ever to exist in human history.
I'm Jim Forbes.
Federal health officials are witnessing the earliest start to the West Nile virus season in the U.S. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute.
One of my clients once came to me after being run off the road by a semi with brake failure. The driver claimed he had no warning, but when we obtained the truck's maintenance records, the story changed completely. The brake system had flagged issues weeks earlier. The repair was noted, signed off on, but when we dug deeper, it was clear the work was never properly completed. Federal regulations require trucking companies to maintain rigorous inspection and maintenance records on every vehicle in their fleet. When they cut corners and they put a mechanically compromised truck on the highway, that's not just bad luck, that's a choice. And that choice has consequences in the courtroom. Equipment failure cases require the right experts and the right document requests from the very beginning. At McIntyre Law, we know how to build those cases. Call us at 777-7000 or visit us at McIntyreLaw.com. Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Craft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. Midwest City Police continue searching for a driver involved in a hit-and-run crash that injured a motorcyclist Saturday. Investigators say the motorcycle was struck near South Midwest Boulevard in East Reno. The rider reportedly suffered a head injury and was taken to an area hospital for further treatment. Anyone who has information is urged to contact Midwest City Police. Elsewhere, Edmond police are investigating a serious multi-vehicle crash near Arcadia Lake that left four people hospitalized over the weekend. The collision reportedly involved three motorcycles and two other vehicles near US 66 and North Douglas Boulevard on Saturday afternoon. Two motorcyclists and two occupants of other vehicles were transported to hospitals in serious condition. Investigators are still working to determine what caused the crash. Researchers at OSU say the spread of eastern red cedar trees may be helping Lone Star ticks expand farther in Oklahoma's dry prairie regions, potentially increasing the risk of illnesses such as alpha-gal syndrome. Researchers say removing young cedar trees may help slow the spread, and they encourage people spending time around cedar stands to use proper insect repellent and stay alert for ticks. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
The clock is ticking, and time is running out on Ford employee pricing for everyone. And Stevens Ford and Enid doesn't want you to miss out on the savings. But it all comes to an end at midnight on July the 6th. Just how good are the savings? Check these out. A brand new 2026 Ford Explorer, discounted $49.02. A new 26 F-150, discounted $44.92. A brand new 26 Ranger, discounted $2,061. These are just examples of the discounts. You'll find discounts like this on every Ford on our lot. If you're the least bit interested in a new Ford and you want a money-saving price, don't wait. Come to Stevens Ford and Enid. Not only will you get the lowest price, you'll also get financing so quick, you'll think it's automatic. But remember, employee pricing will end at midnight, July the 6th. Come to Stevens Ford and Enid today.
My love, you've done it. You slayed the beast.
Indeed, princess. But what's this? You're injured.
I am, but I know the cure.
Pray tell.
Journey to Reno and Sarah Road, to the place they call Okie Dokie Bakery.
What?
I need a dozen cookies at least. Cupcakes, macarons.
Are you sure?
They are delicious. Just what I need.
We ride to Okie Dokie.
Okie Dokie Bakery. Visit okiedokiebakery.com.
Wildfire conditions in Oklahoma can turn dangerous in minutes. Dragging chains on the highway can throw sparks. Tossing cigarettes out a window can ignite dry grass in seconds. One small mistake can turn into a fast-moving wildfire. In fact, most wildfires in Oklahoma are human-caused, especially during hot, dry, and windy conditions. The Oklahoma State Firefighters Association reminds you to do your part. Secure trailer chains, properly dispose of smoking materials, and stay aware of fire conditions before you head out. Wildfire safety starts with simple choices, and those choices can protect and save homes, land, and life. For more information, visit us at osfa.info.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect a mix of sunshine and clouds with a high temperature of 93. Tonight will be humid with a clear sky and temperatures dropping to a low of 72. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny and slightly warmer with a high of 94. By Wednesday, it will be partly sunny and hot with temperatures soaring to a high of 103, approaching the record of 105 last seen in 1964. Expect breezy conditions in the afternoon with your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. I'm meteorologist Jason Catarina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9. It's 73 degrees, sunshiny skies at 736. That means time for your dad joke of the day. You know, Uncle Dave, I had my yearly physical with my doctor the other day, and he told me, don't eat anything fatty. So I said to him, you mean like burgers and bacon? He said, no, don't eat anything fatty.
That wasn't great. I'd get a new doctor.
Because I like bacon.
I love bacon.
Who doesn't love bacon? Time now to check out your morning news headlines on Freedom 96.9. Well, a powerful 4th of July storm brought record-breaking rain and damaging winds to the Oklahoma City Metro. The city received, get this, 1.76 inches of rain, breaking a July 4th rainfall record that stood since 2005. The National Weather Service says straight-line winds of up to 90 miles per hour toppled trees and power lines across the area. By Sunday afternoon, more than 18,000 OG&E customers were still without electricity as crews worked to restore service. Norman saw some of the worst storm damage after wind gusts reached about 90 miles per hour there. Trees, power lines, and street signs were knocked down throughout the city. At Max Westheimer Airport, hangar doors were ripped from their tracks as crews inspected planes for damage. A horse ranch in Northwest Norman also sustained heavy damage, including destroyed shelters, twisted fencing, and roof damage to a large barn as cleanup efforts continued. Governor Stitt has declared a disaster emergency for Cleveland and Washington County following those July 4th storms. The declaration allows additional state resources to assist with recovery, and more counties could be added as damage assessments continue. With thousands still without power during the ongoing heat wave, cooling centers remain open statewide. Residents can locate the nearest center by calling 211 or by using OG&E's online cooling center map. More than $12 million in federal disaster funding is heading to Oklahoma to help communities recover from severe weather. Most of that money will reimburse Tri-County Electric Cooperative for rebuilding power lines, poles, and transformers damaged by storms and winter weather. Additional grants will help to repair roads in Sequoia County and public buildings in Yale. FEMA also approved more than $1 million to reimburse Oklahoma for wildlife response costs from earlier this year. The March 2025 wildfires are now helping Oklahoma State University researchers better understand how fire shapes the landscape in the area. Scientists had planned to study prescribed burns at Cross Timbers Experimental Range before a wildfire swept through the site. Although some equipment was destroyed, years of research data survived. Researchers have now examined more than 2,800 trees and found that native vegetation often recovers, while invasive eastern red cedars do not survive those intense wildfires. 73 degrees under sunny skies at 7:39. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9. A 12-year-old girl has died after drowning in a swimming pool near Broken Bow. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol says the girl told an adult that she was going swimming on Saturday afternoon at a private home in McCurtain County. When the adult checked on her about 15 minutes later, she was found at the bottom of the pool. She was taken to the hospital but could not be saved. The investigation is continuing. A Garvin County teenager will spend the rest of his life in prison without parole for killing two workers during a robbery at a marijuana grow near Wynnewood. 19-year-old Wyatt Collins pleaded guilty to murdering 56-year-old Boeming Ma and 42-year-old Alejandro Hernandez. Prosecutors say Collins and his younger cousin walked to the grow intending to steal marijuana, but left with only cigarettes and AirPods after the deadly shootings. The cousin's federal case is still pending. Two people were injured in a domestic stabbing on Saturday afternoon in northwest Oklahoma City. Police say officers responded just after 1 o'clock in the afternoon to a home near North Rockwell Avenue and North Council Road, where an argument between a husband and wife turned violent. Investigators say the couple's son stepped in to intervene, and both the father and son suffered stab wounds during the altercation. One victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The other was treated at the scene. One person is in police custody as the investigation continues. Restaurant owner Brent Swadley has been transferred from the Oklahoma County Jail to the Grady County Detention Center while awaiting sentencing in his fraud case involving state park restaurant contracts. Swadley had expressed concerns about his safety and recorded jail calls, although his attorneys say they were not involved in the transfer. A jury recommended a 10-year prison sentence after finding him guilty of conspiracy and submitting fraudulent claims to the state. Sentencing is set for July 16th. Incoming Cleveland County Sheriff Darrell Weaver says restoring public trust will be his top priority when he takes office. Weaver replaces former Sheriff Chris Amason. Weaver, who is the former Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics director, says that he plans to focus on accountability, rebuilding community confidence, and pursuing national accreditation to make the department one of Oklahoma's top law enforcement agencies. Oklahoma's free streetcar experiment could soon become permanent. Ridership increased 37% during the Fare Free pilot program, and transportation officials will recommend keeping rides free at a meeting later on this week. Supporters say eliminating fares could save money by removing ticket machines and maintenance costs. Critics argue bus riders should also receive free service, saying that charging bus passengers while offering free streetcar rides raises fairness and equity concerns. We'll be taking your calls on this in just a few minutes at 405-608-4377. Supporters of raising Oklahoma's minimum wage are deciding their next move after voters rejected State Question 832. Organizers say they're waiting on an Oklahoma Supreme Court ruling involving petition restrictions before deciding whether to launch another ballot initiative. Others hope that lawmakers will consider a compromise during the next legislative session. Oklahoma's minimum wage remains at $7.25 per hour, where it's been since 2009. A new Oklahoma law creating more ways to become a certified teacher. House Bill 3076 allows approved public, private, and nonprofit organizations to provide alternative teacher preparation programs under the oversight of the Oklahoma Commission for Educational Quality and Accountability. Supporters say the change will help to reduce teacher shortages while maintaining certification standards, especially in rural and hard-to-find school districts. Applications for Oklahoma's Promise are up nearly 50% this year, with more than 10,000 students from the class of 2026 applying for college scholarship programs. Lawmakers increased funding by more than $88 million after expanding eligibility, including creating a new pathway for some children of longtime public school teachers. The program covers tuition at Oklahoma's public colleges and universities for qualifying students. Well, beginning on November 1st, healthcare providers and laboratories will be required to report suspected cases of alpha-gal syndrome to the Oklahoma State Department of Health. The illness, caused by bites from the Lone Star tick, can trigger an allergy to red meat. Health officials say mandatory reporting will help to track the growing number of cases and improve awareness among healthcare providers. The condition can be diagnosed with a simple blood test. Researchers in Tulsa are studying a promising new treatment for people whose depression has not responded to medication therapy. Scientists at Laureate Institute for Brain Research are now testing low-intensity focused ultrasound to target specific brain circuits linked to depression. The treatment remains experimental at this phase, but researchers hope that it will lead to more effective options for people who are living with treatment-resistant depression. Oklahoma City leaders will consider making streetcar rides permanently free after a pilot program boosted ridership by 37%. Supporters say it could save money. Critics argue riders could also receive free service to avoid equity concerns for buses. So what are your thoughts on this? The reality is, let's face it, nothing's free, okay? There's still a cost to maintaining the streetcars, paying salaries. You've got to pay benefits for employees. So, yeah, it's not free. You're paying for it. So is this where you want your tax dollars going? We'd love to hear from you. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial if you want to be part of the conversation. 405-608-4377. It is 73 degrees and sunny at 745. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit ServicePROOKC.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic, on this Monday morning. Got some construction issues you want to watch out for. Eastbound I-44 at Klassen, May and Northwest Expressway, I-44, Southwest 74th. Buckle up and drive careful.
From the Strait of Hormuz to the Oklahoma City oil field, we're the local talk station you can depend on. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Hey, this is Dr. Tony from Be Well Acupuncture in Oklahoma City. Are you not from around here? We can still help you with your peripheral neuropathy with our outpatient optimization program, which means we send everything you need to reverse your neuropathy right to your house. Be Well Acupuncture understands that traveling can be difficult when you are in pain, and we're here to help even from afar. Take the next step to your relief. Call 405-697-5121 or visit BeWellOKC.com to get started today.
The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Proverbs 22:3. Hey y'all, it's Austin from Cops Gun Shop. 15 years ago this month, I received my first shipment of guns for a new fledgling startup business called Cops Gun Shop. So to celebrate our 15th anniversary, all in-stock ammo will be 15% off through the month of June. In addition, all in-stock Kel-Tec firearms are 5% off too. Our Kel-Tec inventory consists of sub-2000 Gen 3s, KSGs, and the PR-57 pistol. We've got plenty of 5.7x28 Freedom C's to go with the PR-57 pistol also. In-stock Colt revolvers are 10% off. Stop by and check out the awesome inventory of lever-action rifles by Henry and Marlin and bolt-action rifles by Ruger. And if you haven't stopped in lately to see Duke the Shop Dog, he misses you. Cops Gun Shop is open to the public and located at 416 Hudeberg Circle next to Hurricane Harbor Water Park and open all day and night at copsgunshop.net. Cops Gun Shop, live safe, live smart, keep praying that the Marxist influence in our country goes away, and the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Ah, the sounds of summer. You expect to hear this, not this. At bath time, the giggles should echo, not alarms. But accidents happen fast. In just a moment, everything can change. Keep kids safe around water with these simple steps. Assign a responsible adult to watch the water. No phones, no distractions. Never take your eyes off a child during bath time. And always check for hidden dangers where kids play. Let's make water safety part of every day. For more information, visit oklahoma.gov/health/drowning.
From wars in the Middle East to conflicts at home, we're the only station you need to stay informed. We're the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
And this does bother me as a citizen. It bothers me that George Soros' super PAC can put $100 million in and a Republican, the Kochs, can do the same thing. It does bother me a little on the surface. And I'd better for everybody if there were limits and it would actually free politicians to not be subservient to the people that put them into office.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Good morning and welcome back. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. It's Monday, July 6th, 2026. Back to work again. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Checking out the weather, it's going to be a hot few days. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine throughout the day today and a high of 93 degrees. Tonight, clear skies. It'll be humid, though, low of 72. On Tuesday, mostly sunny, high of 94. Then on Wednesday, really turning up the heat. Sunny and hot, high temperature going up to 103 degrees. It's 75 degrees right now under sunny skies at 749. Well, Oklahoma City leaders are considering making streetcar rides permanently free after a pilot program boosted ridership by 37%. Supporters say eliminating fares could save money by getting rid of ticket machines and maintenance costs. But, of course, nothing's really free. Taxpayers would still cover the cost of operating the system. That includes salaries, maintenance, repairs. These things can't be cheap to run. They run on electricity. They can't be cheap to run. So what do you think? Do you want to see your tax dollars spent this way? Give us a call, 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Would you ride the streetcar if they're free? I mean, I'm downtown and in Bricktown quite a bit. It seems like the only people who are riding these things are the homeless people. It's just basically a great big mobile homeless shelter. I've ridden on them once before. Wasn't very impressed with it. The air conditioning wasn't working at the time. So should taxpayers be subsidizing these streetcars? And what do you think? Should buses also be free? That's another thing that lawmakers are talking about, city leaders are talking about, is making buses free to passengers. Would you rather see your tax dollars spent elsewhere? Should city council invest more on public transportation or less on public transportation? Time for you to weigh in at this point, 405-608-4377. We want to hear from you. Terry's on the line right now from Oklahoma City. Good morning, Terry. How are you, brother?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. You know, if I had a bad product and it wasn't selling very good, and I said, well, it's going to be free now. Oh, my goodness. My sales really went up.
Yeah.
I think that streetcar is was a waste of money. I doubt if it's ever paid for itself in the time it's been in operation.
Not even close.
I hardly ever see anyone riding it. And, you know, if we're going to subsidize transportation, let's do it for the buses and everything and make them all free. But I find it funny that they're astonished that, oh, ridership went up 37%. Well, of course it did. It was free.
Well, it was free, and it was also the 4th of July weekend. So you got a bunch of people who are riding who ordinarily wouldn't be downtown. So they're definitely skewing the numbers here. I mean,
I guess my other question is, how does that reduce maintenance costs? Because the streetcars are still running, and
right,
just because they're free, and you got 37% more riders, okay, that doesn't make sense.
Well, what they're saying is the machines that print out the tickets for it, now they're not going to have to print out tickets anymore. So we're going to save, a few pennies on these tickets that we're printing out, but we're going to be spending millions to maintain this thing. Only in government would that make sense, right? Only politicians could say this makes sense.
I don't think in the private sector you'd find anyone having that kind of convoluted explanation.
Absolutely not. And I'm okay with, to a certain degree, the buses being free. But I've also got an issue with that, too, because at the end of the day, you and I as taxpayers have to pay for it. And every time that I look at my paycheck and I see how much money is taken out for taxes and I see how much we're wasting locally and nationally, how much money we send over to Somalia, billions of dollars going to Somalia to fund warlords, and you and I are struggling just to pay our bills from month to month. And then we put up something like this for free, quote unquote. At what point do we say, you know what, this is too much? I want to start keeping
I'm not sure if those rail cars go where they're really needed. You know, they need the rail cars from downtown out to the, where the softball field is and all that, where they actually have venues.
Out to the zoo?
Have the street cars running out to there, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that'd be kind of cool, but, you know, running lines that far, you're talking huge amounts of money. Just take the darn bus for crying out loud, you know? If you need the ride out there, take the bus. The bus is still relatively affordable, but why should I be subsidizing something that I simply don't use? Now, I could also make the argument, though, the park system. It's free to use the parks.
Well, this is true, but I think more people use the parks than ride those little trains around town.
Have you ever ridden on them? I did it once.
I have not. I for one thing, I don't know where they go from, you know, where would I want to go that thing goes.
Yeah, they just kind of make a little circle through Bricktown, through downtown, that kind of a thing. And, you know, it's not a bad idea. It's kind of neat if we had tons of extra money flowing. But we don't.
Well, I live out north in northern Oklahoma City, and, you know, I would have to drive downtown anyway and then try to find a place to park and get on the bus and,
yeah,
you know, on the train or whatever. But it just doesn't make sense.
And honestly, you could jump on a scooter for the same price or less. And those scooters are kind of fun when you're not wiping out. gravity does have an effect on those scooters. I was down in Bricktown on Friday night and hear this like screeching and then a scream and a thunk. A 15-year-old got thumped by a car driving against traffic right in the middle of the road, and her head was bleeding pretty good. We called her mother. Her mother came and got her, and EMSA checked her out. But these kind of crashes, I mean, they happen so frequently. There's guys that stand on the sidewalk holding up numbers like at the Olympics to rate you based on your fall. Look at that, Cliff. That was a triple double flip followed by a split. That's a 10 right there.
Well, I just don't think that. I think if they're going to be free, make all the bus system free, make all the transportation free.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, just pull the trigger, right? In for a penny, for a pound. Hey, thanks so much for calling in this morning. I appreciate the conversation. And if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, it's easy to do. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Again, Oklahoma City leaders are considering making streetcar rides permanently free after a pilot program boosted ridership by 37%. Again, it's not surprising when it's free and when you've got a bunch of stuff going on downtown, like all the stuff going on for 4th of July. It's no shock they saw an increase in ridership. Kind of seems like they're greasing the wheels a little bit to me, like they're pushing for this anyhow. They say it's going to be free. Nothing's free in this world. Somebody still has to pay for it. You know who's paying for it? It's you, the taxpayer. Again, footing the bill for this. Eliminating the fares just simply shift the cost from users to the general public. It's basically socialized transportation at its very finest. If riders aren't paying anything, taxpayers are subsidizing entertainment and downtown travel. So what are your thoughts? Should users be paying for the service they use, or should public transit be funded entirely by the public, by taxes? And is it worth the investment? Yeah, ridership was up 37% during this pilot. I would still make the argument those numbers are pretty skewed because we had a lot more people downtown and in Bricktown. There were a bunch of games going on, a bunch of fireworks. A large number of people mean more people are going to be riding. It's as simple as that. So it seems like the numbers are skewed, and it seems like we're being played here just a little bit. So would those riders have paid anyway if the fares were still in place, if it was free? My guess is probably yes. Does the increased ridership provide enough economic activity downtown to offset the cost? I doubt it. I'm not talking with anybody who says, you know what, let's go downtown just to ride the trolley system. Nobody says that. It's convenient if you want to just kind of hop on it. You have to be walking down the street. It's a little bit warm out. Yeah, I'll jump on this thing, save myself a few steps. But largely, nobody's going downtown just to ride the trolleys. Nobody's going to downtown businesses just because the trolleys make it so convenient. And then there's the question in terms of downtown versus neighborhood priorities. We can make the argument that the streetcar primarily benefits downtown, primarily benefits Bricktown, but everybody's going to be paying for it. So is that fair to people in other neighborhoods? You're paying for something that you're simply not using. And should taxpayer dollars be used to prioritize downtown amenities? Would the money have a better impact if it was used in something else, like roads, like police, like parks, like neighborhood services? We've got a jail that's roughly $6 million short of being built because of misjudgment by our county leaders. And granted, we're talking city versus county, but the vast majority of the people who are in the county jail are residents of Oklahoma City. Should Oklahoma City be paying more towards that jail and more towards services that keep people out of that jail, like mental health services? Certainly a whole lot to debate here. Streetcar versus bus equity, I don't understand this one. This has become one of the biggest debates of this. Bus riders generally use transit to get to work. They'll travel to medical treatments. They'll buy groceries. They tend to have lower incomes. But the trolley system is basically used for fun. Quick check on the weather before we go. Today it's going to be a hot one, mix of clouds and sunshine, high of 93 degrees. Tomorrow mostly sunny, high of 94. Wednesday sunny and hot, high of 103 degrees. 73 degrees at 7:59. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.